Amen. Good morning, family. How are you feeling this morning? I know Christian feels pretty good. He ran his laps on the bridge yesterday. It was awesome. I know where's Ernest is feeling pretty good. I know Clinton is feeling pretty good. I know the sisters are pretty good. Guys, if you're a guest here this morning, we ran the good race. We ran the good race as we ran the Okoye-Lekki Bridge. It was an incredible time to raise money for missions work across Africa. Amen? You know, it's one thing to ask for money. It's another thing when you go out there and you show your heart to win it. Are you with me here? I've always enjoyed running because, well, that's not true. I've learned to like running. I don't actually look like a runner. Amen? But I've learned to like running because it really is like the Christian life. You know, when you start running, you feel good. Like when you just get baptized, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You feel good. You're like, man, this is awesome. The Christian life is amazing. And then you start going uphill. And you're like, oh, wow. I didn't know it was going to get a little harder. And then you keep running. You're like, okay, good. And then you get the downhill. You're like, oh, that feels good. You know when you went downhill yesterday after going uphill? You just let your body go down. And you're like, oh, then I have to turn around and go back uphill again. Oh, no. Okay, let's go. And, you know, one of the things that's so amazing is realizing that you can handle so much more than what you think.
Amen.
Your mind can do 20%, your body can do 20% more than what your body says it can. Yes. And so it was just great. I just want to say thank you for all of those who participated yesterday in our inaugural run for missions. Amen. It was a great time. And I was grateful I was out there too. Typhoid can't keep me down. Amen.
Amen.
And so it was a great time together with you. If you're a guest here this week, we're going to continue a series on the topic of prayer. Because I truly believe we are victorious when we pray.
Amen.
And that we're not praying just out of some mere tradition, but because we believe in the power of God. And of course, Nigeria is, I guess you would say, a religious nation. Amen. A lot of people believe in prayer, or at least they believe in the practice of prayer. But today we're going to really study it out in a deeper way. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Last week we talked about how we can be victorious in prayer. And how the points were simply, God wants to answer our prayers. And that's something for us sometimes that we may not even believe. Have you ever prayed unbelieving? Oh, I guess no one has done that here. Is that it?
Come on, bro.
Have you ever prayed unbelieving? I need you with me this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. We've all prayed knowing we need to pray, but sometimes our faith isn't really there. Are you with me? Because we don't, and sometimes we struggle that God wants to answer our prayers. But the truth is, God does. And we studied that out last week. We also realized that we're too busy not to pray. Amen? And that Satan, remember, this is his world. So he wants us to keep us so busy, so distracted, that we won't rely on God. And we look to the gods of this world to pull us on in. Prayer also protects us from discouragement. Because in a lot of ways, you know what? If we don't pray, we will be discouraged, guys. There's no question about it.
Come on.
We've got to go back to God and remember where our encouragement comes from.
Amen.
Well, here in Philippians chapter 4, I wanted to remind us of what prayer should produce. Because, you know, last week, we talked about this passage, but I want to see how it was for you. And I told you to do something this week. Let's see if you did it. I'm going to find out in just a moment. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 4, the Bible reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Why do we need to rejoice, guys? Because Satan wants to discourage you. He wants to discourage you with finances. He wants to discourage you with challenging relationships. He wants to discourage you with a job. He wants to, or lack of. He wants to discourage you in all different types of ways.
Yeah.
But when we rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
If you're rejoicing in anything else, it won't last.
That's right.
Let me say that again. If you're rejoicing in anything else besides the Lord, who is perfect, it will not last. Because everything else is not perfect. Everything else is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
So if you rejoice in the job, amen. But be careful, because if that's all you get your joy from, what if your job lets you go? Have you stopped rejoicing now? If your joy is in a relationship, what if your relationship lets you go? Are you with me here? If you rejoice in finances, what if you lose your money?
Yeah.
Now what are you joyful about? See, guys, if we put our joy in gods that are not God, trust me, you will lose your joy. The Bible reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, because I know you're going to try to get your joy from other things. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Were you gentle this week? Because you're closer to God in prayer?
No.
Well, what happened this week? Yeah. See, this is what prayer should produce.
Talk about it.
Are we not a praying nation?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, what should it produce? Do you see gentleness in the world today? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Were you anxious this week?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
What happened? What happened, God? Were you praying?
No.
Yes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, prayer protects us from discouragement, guys.
Amen.
I want to challenge us here today and this week. Your gentleness, your anxiety, is that rather, and should you be anxious about anything? No. Should you be at peace this week? Is what should prayer produce? Peace. Are you at peace this morning? That's a yes or no.
Yes.
Are you at peace this morning?
Yes.
You don't look it.
Come on, bro.
You don't look it. Yes. Again, why am I asking you this? Because this is what true Christianity is all about. Are you with me here, guys?
Yeah.
We're not here to just sing some songs, hear a nice message that intrigues us intellectually, and then go back home. We're here to change. I appreciate my brother Michael.
Come on.
I appreciate him praying, like, God, help us to change. Help us to be different when we leave than when we came in. But if we're going to be spiritual people, you've got to ask yourself, do you have a gentle heart? You know, this week was rough for me because I contracted typhoid.
Come on, bro.
My first time contracting typhoid. And you know me, I consider myself a fairly strong individual. So, you know, Monday, you know, we came back, we had our admin meeting on Monday, had a great Bible study with a friend of mine, had the admin meeting, and then I came back home and I'm like, man, you know, your stomach, I'm not sure if you guys have had, who has had typhoid before? Okay. Yeah, you know, it's like, here, it's really funny. People are like, yeah, malaria, typhoid, AIDS, hey, you know, we all have it. No, I'm joking. But I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you just get used to having stuff here. That's just the way it is. Right? But typhoid can kill you, you know. But anyway, so I come home and it's like, and your intestines are like, I mean, it doesn't cause diarrhea or anything. It's just your, and I'm like, wow. I can bench, I can do all this stuff. This thing is like taking me out. I thank God for my wife, because my wife was like, baby, what do you need? I got the kids. What do you need? You know? And she's not here, so she can't appreciate it. I love my wife, amen. And so, but man, it took me out. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to continue to do what I need to do. And the first couple days, I'm like, maybe it's just something bad. You get over it, you know. But it got worse. Then I went to men's midweek, and it went like it was good. And then it came back. I'm like, let me just humble myself out and just go to the doctor. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was like, well, I don't know how much this is going to cost. I'm trying to get ready for missions contribution. God, why? Why would you now allow this illness to come upon me? I don't have extra money. I don't need this right now. But I was like, no, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't have health insurance. I'm going to trust you. And God totally worked it out. I was so grateful because, you know, I was talking to some of the brothers in our sister church in LA. Like, bro, what do you need? Oh, here you go. Whatever you need. Here you go. I was like, really? Oh, thanks, bro. Thanks, bro. Bro, thank you, bro. And I was like, man, it's just amazing how the church just looks out for each other.
Yes.
I mean, whatever you need, we'll take care of you, bro.
Yes.
And so, you know, I was tempted to be anxious. I was like, no, just pray. And with petition, put it before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so, I want to encourage you guys this because I'm in the battle with you. We're all in the battle, guys.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it was interesting because as I was talking to the brothers back in LA, I was like, guys, we got to figure out this health insurance thing. Like, amen, we're going to figure this out. I'm like, amen. You know, maybe me getting typhoid now is going to enable us to be able to develop our budget so we can get some health insurance in the church.
Yeah.
By the glory of God.
Yeah.
You see, God okay, that'll work. A little extra funds, okay, this is good. Thank God. But guys, prayer works. And God doesn't allow you to go through anything that he doesn't have a plan for. I really trust that. I really do. It was so cool because I shared about it in the WhatsApp. As I'm going out, as I'm going to the medical center, I find a medical center right there in Lekki, this Medbury Medical Spa, instead of going all the way to VI. And I reached out to the doctor, Dr. Jeffrey. And you know what's cool when you can talk to someone and we're waiting for the lab results to come back? I start showing them pictures from the GLC. I'm start showing them scriptures from discipleship. And you know when someone's really starting to take it in? Like, wow, he's like, yeah, I see a lot of this religious stuff. I live over in Ajah. Pray for him. His name is Dr. Jeffrey. Pray that he'll come out next Sunday. Amen? But just be praying. God works, man. And if Dr. Jeffrey becomes a disciple, it'll be worth getting typhoids. That's the way I feel. God doesn't allow that stuff to happen for no reason. Are you with me here? Turn over your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Prayers have the power to change our circumstances, family. When we don't pray, we limit what God will do in our lives. Sometimes God may have to give you typhus or typhoid to be able for you to pray some more. Because we rely so much on our own strength. But today we're going to talk about how we pray. Last Sunday we talked about the need for prayer. Today we're going to talk about how to pray. And I pray that the study today will really inspire you.
Amen.
What kind of attitude, what kind of expectation should we have when we pray? Well, it's interesting because there's a whole debate. For those of you who like to get deep, there's this whole concept of Calvinism. You guys heard of Calvinism before?
Yeah,
it's a religious theology that says it's all up to God. Man really doesn't have any free will. It's all up to God. If people become Christians, it's all up to God. That's his theology, Calvinism. Presbyterians and all these guys follow that. But then you have Arminianism, which means that it's mostly up to us. We've got to do it all, or else God won't do it. And that doesn't make any sense either. It's really a combination of the Lord and us working together. And we're going to see that today, and that the Lord's Prayer is a perfect example of that balance, because it teaches us who God is and how we're supposed to come to him. Now, most of you know Luke 11 when it comes to prayer, but today I'm going to show you Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to take a look here, and we're going to see how the Bible teaches us to pray from the most famous prayer in the Bible. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. Now, this is good. Remember, we're going to talk about how to pray, and the first part here, we're going to look in verse 5 to 8. We're going to see how not to pray. Okay? Verse 5. Jesus speaks. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." Oh, boy. Oh boy, that's all right. "For they love to pray." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hypocrites love to pray. Why? Why do hypocrites love to pray? It says here, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men." Oh. "Are you in charge of prayer? Do I see you praying?" I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. "But when you pray, go into your room," your war room, like we talked about last week, amen? "Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you."
Amen.
Verse 7. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans," like heathens, "for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." How long did you pray? Did you pray for hours? Only if you pray for hours can you be spiritual. Quality or quantity? Don't get me wrong. We need to pray for as long as it takes to get our hearts right. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Verse 8. "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Wow. Let's stop here. Again, the title of our message this morning is the Lord's Prayer Revealed, a roadmap for genuine prayer.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer Revealed, a roadmap for genuine prayer. Now, point number one this morning is very simple. Genuine prayer exposes the heart of pretense or piety. Do you understand what pretense is? Just for show. For show. Or for a true relationship with God. Are you following me here? See, guys, right here, Jesus gives some preliminary instructions about how not to pray. And the first thing he says here is, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, for me, I'm a man of Bible study. I've learned to become a man of prayer. And it wasn't easy for me because of my pride. Prayer exposes pride.
Yes.
If you love to pray, it could be for two reasons. Either because you really are humble before God and you seek to make His will your own, or because you want God to answer what you want, which really is just selfish motives. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, bro.
But what's interesting here is that Jesus is saying that genuine prayer exposes the heart of pretense or piety. What's powerful about the scripture here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, is that prayer is not just corporate prayer. Prayer is individual prayer. A lot of people think, I will come to church and pray. And I'll pray for hours at church.
Yeah.
Do you pray for hours at home? Do you have a night vigil at your house by yourself?
Right.
Praying into the morning by yourself? Or do you do it amongst everyone else? Because that's supposed to make you spiritual.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think praying all together is fantastic.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong here. But some people put so much validation into that. It's like the corporate prayer is what makes them spiritual versus the individual prayer.
Yes.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is very important, guys. Because in a nation like Nigeria, where so much focus is given on prayer, we have to make sure we have the right motivation, and we have to make sure we do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're just following cultural tradition.
Yes.
That's right.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes.
These guys love to pray. That's awesome. But are they praying out of selfish motivation? God, give me! Give me, God, give me! Are they praying because they want to be seen? Oh, is that a church of prayer? I'll come to that church when I hear how they're praying for hours together.
Wow.
Then I'll come.
Wow.
Oh, really? You won't come because we're teaching you how to repent and be baptized. You need to make disciples of all nations. You need to be discipled and stay holy. That we need to win the world together. You won't come because of that. But you'll come because everyone's praying for hours together. Is that it? Okay. Where is your conviction?
All right. Come on, Andrew.
Come on.
And so what people do is that these hypocrites, sadly, focus more on social position more than an individual piety before God. I want to challenge you this week. Spend time alone with God.
Amen.
I challenged you last week. What did I challenge you to do with your Bible talks last week?
Pray together.
Did you do it?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Taking a brother, take the brothers together, separate, and go and pray before your Bible talk. Pray for the people studying the Bible. Pray for your Bible talk to be strengthened. Guys, that's going to bond our hearts. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
It's important. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't stand on the street corners and pray. No. I'm not saying that's evil. But if you're doing it to be seen by people,
right.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the motivation behind it.
Yeah.
Praying together and standing is awesome. We need to stand as an assembly and pray. Amen?
Amen?
We did it today. Fantastic. But if you're doing it to be
come on, bro.
Seen by others, look how spiritual they are. Is he watching me pray?
Wow.
Come on, bro.
Talk about it.
Ooh, be careful here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like standing on the street corner and praying. Sometimes people will be inspired and say, hey, can I come pray with you? You could be very evangelistic.
Awesome.
But what's your heart behind it?
Right. Yeah.
Guys, this is huge. A lot of people do that. Now, here's another thing. It says, don't be a pagan, don't be a heathen. Now, what's interesting here is it says, they keep on babbling. Speaking foolishness. Sadly, we see a lot of that today in the Pentecostal culture. Right? What do? They keep these, they call it speaking in tongues. What does speaking in tongues mean? Speaking in a different language, a real language. Not mama say mama sa makusa. It's a real language.
Yeah.
And funny enough, they never change out of their, like, people have done studies on tongues, you know.
Yeah.
And what they've noticed is that people who speak in tongues never go beyond their language. They always use some type of change in regards to their language. So if you were to bring someone from Russia who likes to speak in tongues, their speaking in tongues will be like the Russian language. Now, if it really is an angelic language, shouldn't it be totally different than what the different aspects of your language should be? But they keep on babbling.
Come on.
And they're going back and forth. No, we see it all the time at Unilab. Yeah. It becomes literally just, I mean, you walk in, you just hear this rumbling. It is like a fervor of this stuff. And it saddens my heart.
Come on.
Because people become so deceived.
Yeah.
Just babbling on and on and on and on and on. Babbling. When you pray, pray specifically.
Yeah.
Pray with conviction. Because God already knows. Imagine if I came to you and said, hey, can I get some of those apples? 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 Patrick, 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 can I get some of those apples? Can I get some of those apples? Greek? Can I get apples, 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 can I get apples, 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 apples. How do you talk to God? It's kind of like the Catholics who say many words. Say four Hail Marys and five Our Fathers. Mary, Mother of Grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thee among women. Blessed are these women. Okay. Lord, remember. Okay.
Wow. Come on.
Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thee among women. Blessed are these women.
Come on.
And they think by doing this, that makes them righteous.
Wow.
It's the same thing as... What is that? Have they left their brain at the door? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be serious. And we have a nation of over 180 million people. Well, the majority of them believe this nonsense. And we need to call it out as nonsense. Because it's not changing them. They're still sleeping around. They're still cursing. They're still smoking weed. They're still being deceitful. They're still cutting people off in traffic. And they call themselves religious. Guys, let us not become like them.
Amen.
We must stay humble before the Lord.
Amen.
I pray that we don't become hypocrites.
Yeah.
Focusing more on pretense, the show of things, rather than the true heart behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that we don't become like the heathens and think, okay, if I just keep repeating, and I don't really have a real relationship. Because, you know, guys, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you don't realize how much cultural stuff gets into your life.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't realize it. Like, I was hearing people pray. I'm like, in Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. Why do people pray like that? Can you show me in the scriptures where it says, in Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name? Is that how Jesus prayed? I mean, it's his name. Now, I've heard it said that people pray like that because, sadly, there's so much false doctrine. When you pray, you better make sure you're praying to the right God. You're praying to Jesus. Okay, I could understand that philosophy. But why do people pray like that? It's cultural. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. But Doug, do I talk about Uncle Benedict? Uncle Benedict. 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 I can't even talk to you like that.
Yeah.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it? So when you're talking to God, do you think he needs to say, in Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name? You see, it sounds funny to you now, but when you're praying, you don't even realize you're doing it. And you're repeating, 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 as if that's supposed to make it spiritual. Are you following me? Am I hurting your feelings? I'm trying to show you the Word of God. Whether or not you choose to accept that is up to you. But you must make sure that culture does not creep into your spirituality. The only culture I'm concerned about is biblical culture. You start bringing worldly culture into the church, you can start going down a road of tradition that will lead you astray. Are you with me here? Now, I'm not trying to say, oh man, now if I say in Jesus' name, he's gonna come after me. No. All I'm asking you to do is pray like you'd be talking to a real person.
Amen. Come on, Andrew.
If I were to record your prayers and play it back to you, what would it sound like? Would it sound forced? Would it sound fake? Would it sound rehearsed? Or would it just sound like a person crying out, talking to his friend, talking to his dad?
Come on, bro.
This is how not to pray. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not be like the heathen.
Amen.
Let's keep reading now. Point number one, genuine prayer exposes the heart of pretense or piety. Point number two, genuine prayer involves a focus on several things. Before I show you, let's read this first. Verse 9. It says, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Okay, so he's just showing us how not to pray. Now he's showing us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, if you notice here, there's a little A next to one. You see that right there, a little superscript. If you look down, it says, some late manuscripts say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do you see that right there?
Yes.
Do you see that right there at the bottom of your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all there, but depending upon the translation, depending upon some of the script manuscripts later, some included it with there or further down. Why do I share all this? Because here now, Jesus gives us a roadmap. Okay? Let's break this down.
Come on.
In verse 9, he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So what does hallowed mean? Holy. Hallowed means holy. Holy is your name. Do you know back in the day, some people would be afraid even to say Jehovah? Like the Hebrew scribes back in the day, when they wrote the word Jehovah with their pen, they broke it and buried it. It could not be used again after writing the name Jehovah. That's the reverence and the holiness they had for God. And so, first thing here is that when we pray, it says here, our Father, hallowed be your name. We need to praise God for who he is.
Amen.
First element involves praise. And all these things start with a P. So you get it for prayer. Amen? It involves praise. Now, I don't know about you, but I appreciate, again, when Michael came up to pray, he praised God.
Yes.
But here's the thing. We can know what it means to praise God, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me clarify that. We know we need to praise God. But do you know why? Why should you praise God?
Come on, bro.
Why? Is he, you know the word worship in the Middle English actually means worth-ship? Worship actually means worth-ship. God is worth your praise.
Amen, that's right.
God is worth your worship. Do you see God as worthy of your praise?
Absolutely.
Come on. You see, we're not going to praise people unless we think they're worthy of it.
Yeah.
Why do people praise footballers? Look at what he's done. Right? Why do people praise people in business? Look at how much money he has.
Yeah.
Why do people praise things of the world? Because they think they're worthy of praise. Is God worthy of praise to you?
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Let me help you with a scripture. I'll give you one scripture that inspires me about God's praise. Take a look over in Psalms 103.
Amen.
See, guys, when we approach God in prayer, when we praise God, it's because we truly believe He's worthy. And you know what? When you sing, it's a good indicator of how much you really believe God is worthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on, bro.
Here's what happens when we sing. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I know the Lord liveth, and blessed be...
Wow.
Jesus Christ died for me, and He took away my sin. So shall I live with Him for eternity. You know, I can tell a lot about where people are at spiritually by how they sing. The Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
So if you went, I will call upon the Lord. That's okay. As long as you're, I will call upon the Lord. As long as you're making a joyful noise with all your heart, I can work with that. Are you with me right there? Amen. You know what? I'll tell you one thing. I appreciate our sister Shola. I don't have to tell Shola to have fun when she sings. Shola's voice is distinctive. You will hear her singing. I mean, she was up there dancing this morning. I was like, whoa. I'm like, whoa. Sis, I say that to encourage you. When Shola sings, she is praising God. Challenge you guys, when you're singing, if I were to look at you, because you know the funny thing is, if you read in Revelation, when we get to heaven, the throne is going to be in a circle, and we're all going to be in a throne is going to be in it. We're going to be encircle the throne. So guess what? You're going to be all looking at each other singing.
Amen.
So one of these days, we need to have church where we're just in a big circle. Because you know, when you're sitting like this, you're just like, oh, only these people see me here. But when you're sitting in a circle, you're like, everybody's looking at me.
Yes,
you can't hide. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of y'all look free. You look very free. Right? Look at Psalms 103. That's my little Jamaican accent coming right there. Psalms 103, verse 1. What does it say? Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His. Oh, there it is. Praise His holy name. His name is hallowed. It is holy. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. And crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I appreciate this right here. Because very often, people praise God, but they don't think about this. They don't think about the immorality. They don't think about the deceit. They don't think about the STDs. They don't think about the scams. They don't think about all the ways that God pulled them out of the muck and the vomit. And that's what makes us sing.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
Is that what makes you sing? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Is that the way you sing? Are you more fired up for Arsenal than you are to sing in the church of God? Guys, You know, I was writing on my prayers. I told you that here's my prayer book.
Come on.
And here are my prayers.
Come on, prayer book.
Hi, Jill.
I pray. And then at the back, I have my whole list. Remember I told you? People, I check off the list who I pray for. And I, you know, for me, when I praise God, I remember where I came from. I remember how much grace I've received. You know, grace is just another word in a lot of ways for patience. Because God has had a lot of patience with me. You know, like when you have an exam that's due and you get a grace period?
Yep.
God is showing us patience for us to repent. Some of you studying the Bible today, God is showing you a lot of grace. What are you doing with it?
Amen.
Are you praising God? You know, as I said, some of you are in this room and you're singing some songs, but you're not changing.
Wow.
You're the same person last week. And you know who you are.
Come on, bro.
Don't mock God.
Amen.
Get serious.
Amen.
There's too much religious people out there. Don't be like one of them. Don't be a hypocrite or a heathen. Are you with me here, family?
Amen, bro.
It's time to repent. Don't you dare come into God's house and talk about praising Him and singing some songs and then go back and live the same wicked life.
Amen.
Come on, Andrew.
And call yourself a Christian with a cross around your neck. Guys, we got to have conviction.
Yes.
We are God's children.
Yes.
He died for us.
Yes.
He's forgiven us of our sins. He's redeemed us from the pit. And He's shown you more grace and mercy. Shown me more grace and mercy than I do not deserve. Well, let's get back to Matthew 6. I'm just focusing on Matthew 6 today. That's my whole message. Genuine prayer involves a focus on praise. Approaching our Father. As Hebrews 4:14-16 talks about, we can approach God with confidence.
Amen.
Because we're grateful. We can find mercy and grace to find help us in our time of need. That's the way we should feel when we get to pray to God. We get to pray to God. The second key aspect here is in verse 10. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the next key point here is our priorities.
Amen.
When you pray, are you praising God? Number one. And number two, are your priorities getting in line with God's priorities? It says here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's the kingdom of God? I'm sorry, what? How do you know that? Turn you over in Matthew chapter 16. For the guests who are here today, let's just see what the Bible has to say. Because, you know, some people think God's kingdom is only in heaven. Well, why would it say on earth as it is in heaven then? Really? Okay. The Bible says here, Peter gives his confession of Christ in Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this is not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, you're a little pebble. The word Petros comes from there. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Wow. God's church is His kingdom. Where Jesus is the king, the disciples are God's subjects, and the Bible is His law. In case you're wondering, even the book of Revelation lays it out. Take a look here. Let's see what the Bible says. It's just always good to have a little extra in your arsenal. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 1, He's talking to the churches. And in Revelation chapter 1, it says here, verse 4, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits before the throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom. And priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. The church said, amen. What is the kingdom of God? The church. Do you know your Bible?
Come on, bro.
That kingdom come. The kingdom came when 3,000 were baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 2. And so you have to ask yourself, are the kingdom's priorities your priorities?
All right, come on, Andrew.
Is God's church, is his priorities your priorities? Is his will your will? And then you say, I want to pray. You want to pray, but your priorities aren't even in step with God's. Guys, look at this here. I'm trying to help you see. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That, you see, the reason why, it, one kind of feeds on the next. And I want you to see this today. It's really interesting. I got some, you know, as I'm sitting there with typhoid, I got some good insight.
Come on.
You know, God just kind of helps you. It's that stuff and you're studying it out. We praise God because we understand the power of God. I mean, I'm a science guy. My background's in science. And for me to even start to comprehend the cosmos, to start to understand the universe, we are so infinitesimally small, it blows your mind. It would blow your mind. The constants that are set right now so that gravity stays the same, the air stays the same, the twisting of the earth stays the same. Like, if any one of those constants changed, you would die. If the air changed just a little bit, you're dead. If gravity changes a little bit, you're dead. You're going to fly up into the atmosphere and die. If the earth is spinning a little faster, you're dead. You fly off. Guys, there's so many incredible things. When you stand in awe of God, you praise him. Wow. When you don't stand in awe of God, guess what happens? You get worried. You give in to fears.
Yeah.
And your priorities stop being God's priorities. They start being your priorities. Yeah. That's why if you just look a little further on in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about do not worry. We worry because we don't think God has the power to do what he says he's going to do. And so, it's interesting here, it says in verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? It's always funny that gets stuck in there. I get the eating and drinking part, but then it's like, what shall we wear? Clothes. People love clothes, eh? For the pagans, remember we talked about those guys before? They run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek fifth his kingdom. Is that what it says? What does it say? Seek first.
Amen.
So what should your priorities be? Kingdom first.
That's right.
Is the kingdom first in your life? Oh, you got real quiet there. You got real quiet there. But isn't this what's supposed to happen in prayer?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll tell my people in prayer. If your prayer doesn't result in praise, doesn't result in God's priorities becoming your priorities, are you really a people of prayer?
No.
But I prayed for 5 hours. I had 4 vigils this past week. But have you done this?
Come on, bro.
You see, guys, we've got to align our will with God.
Amen.
Are we really obeying and aligning our will with God? What else is the will of God? It says here, seek first his kingdom, which is his church, and his righteousness. So is my first priority to become more like Jesus? Or are you more concerned about brushing your teeth and finding a nice outfit to wear to work than having your quiet time and getting right before God?
Come on, Andrew.
Guys, I'm just trying to show you the Bible. And I'm trying to share it with you because I know I have to deal with it myself every day. Are you with me? I'm in the battle with you.
Amen.
But this is real talk, guys. You didn't come for some nice little, like, you know, peachy sermon. This is, people think, oh, prayer, this is going to be a nice little easy sermon. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Prayer is going to expose the cracks. You see, did you have a time with God this morning?
Yeah.
Or did you expect the corporate prayer, the corporate Bible study to be enough for you? Do you see the hypocrisy?
Yeah.
That's what the world teaches. You're religious by coming into a room with religious people. You're spiritual by praying with spiritual people. Then you can go back home and sleep with your girlfriend and come back again and do the same thing. Number three, what does genuine prayer involve another focus on? Praise, priorities, guess what else? Next one, provision. Okay. See, if we get our priorities in line, all of a sudden, God's taking care of all of our needs.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. And I really appreciate the professionals' Bible talk. You guys had a great job last week, so many visitors. And you know, it's awesome. When you seek first the kingdom, God says, don't worry, all this I'll give to you as well. It's amazing. I can't tell you how many people. I mean, Dami has a job. Another sister looking for a job. Sarah's like, oh man, I need a job. Dami's like, okay, come to mine. Yeah. Next thing you know, Sarah's got a job. Yeah. You see, you seek first the kingdom. God's like, I got you.
That's right. That's right.
You got typhoid? Yeah. Seek first the kingdom. Guys, I need help. I got you.
Amen.
I got you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think, I pray to God, and why isn't God answering my prayer? Did you seek first the kingdom? No, but I'm praying to God, and how doesn't God answer my prayer?
Wow.
God's giving you his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all this will be given to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see, guys, God wants to give us what we need.
Right.
You know, I think, again, the challenge is, and the temptation is money. Money scares us, or the lack of it. And as a person that knows and has touched, even from a distance, what real money is, my wife, she had her own legal practice. She could have been driving Audi TTs. She has to be discipled not to.
Come on.
But she was ready to crank. She's like, I became a lawyer. This is, you know, when she was a baby Christian. It's time for me to, I don't work hard for this. Let me get my Audi TT up in here. And brother's like, yes, sis. You know, Audi TT is real small. Why don't you get a Nissan Maxima or an Altima? Now you can have more space for people to come with you to church. Amen, bro. Will do. Amen. And she got a Nissan Altima.
Come on.
Was it because she couldn't afford the Audi TT? No, she just wanted to bring more people to church. That's my baby. You see, guys, God will provide what you need, but we get so worried when it comes to money. Because again, it's like, what will people see? Will they look at me as successful? What will people see? I want to read you a story. You ever heard of, there's this newspaper in the U.S. Where advice is given out by this woman called Ann Landers. She's way off base, but at times she has some interesting thoughts. And so this guy writes to this newspaper, and this is what he says. Dear Ann Landers, I hesitate to write this to you because the question sounds stupid, but I need some advice. I'm a 38-year-old man, happily married for 8 years, and I have 2 young daughters. I've been at my job since 1974, the year after I graduated from college. This book is old. It's not the biggest business of its kind, but it's been, it's not old, it's 97. But it's been good to me, and I've become the proverbial big fish in a small pond. The problem is this. Over the years, I've run into several college buddies, and most of them have done much better financially and career-wise than I have. When I compare my accomplishments to theirs, I always come up short and wind up feeling inferior and depressed.
Wow.
I'll be the first to admit that I haven't been as aggressive as some of the guys I used to run around with. I should tell you that I've turned down a couple of job offers with better pay in order to stay in this city with my family.
Wow.
Because we like it here. I also confess I lack self-confidence. I've never attended a college reunion because I feel like a failure around these guys. I haven't spoken to the ones who were my closest friends in 15 years because I'm ashamed to tell them I'm still at my first job. To be perfectly honest, an 8-year-old car doesn't quite cut the same swath as a new BMW. How can I prove to my old college friends that I'm not a loser? What can I do to show them I'm okay too? Class of 73, doesn't give his name. This is Ann Landers responding to him. Dear class of 73, since when does having a new BMW and a sizable bank account make a man a big success? You need to sit back and take a good look at your priorities, mister. It sounds as if that small pond suits you just fine, so stop looking longingly, at the ocean where life might be much more hazardous and not nearly as rewarding. All that glitters is not gold. The guys you are envying may be envying you. Well, what's interesting, the story doesn't end there. So, you remember this young father is worried about his choice to put his family before his job because that would cause his college buddies to ridicule him? A few weeks later, after the column appeared from him, several people replied to his comments. I'll share with you what they say. It said here, please print this response to class of 73. Oh, actually, I'll start from the other one. My advice to people who think the fast track is the way to go, forget it. I chose that route and it hasn't made me or my family happy. The more money I make, the more we spend. It's a vicious circle. I'm saddled with a huge mortgage and we do a lot of meaningless stuff to keep up appearances. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it differently. Another person. Please print this response to class of 73 who felt inadequate when he compared his success to that of his college classmates. My husband is probably one of the guys he admires. So this is a wife now speaking. We've moved 6 times in 10 years. Always for better paying, more prestigious jobs. Each move requires establishing new friendships, becoming part of the community. I dream of staying in one place long enough for my children to develop ongoing relationships, but I know it will never happen. We drive the BMW that class of 73 admires as a status symbol. Actually, we have 2. Sounds wonderful? Not really. What I wouldn't give for my husband, who is satisfied with his job, his salary, and the city we live in. My husband's lucky that I'm committed to keeping our family life strong and loving. Sometimes I feel like throwing in the towel. I envy your wife, Mr. Class of 73. Wow. Where are your priorities today, my friends? Do you really believe that God will provide you with all you need?
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I want to read this to you. Because, you know, we're getting ready here for our missions contribution next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when we think about missions contributions, we're like, oh, man, I got to give back to God? Yeah.
Come on.
I do. You know why? Because I've seen what God can do. I've seen what God can do. I remember when Nicholas got baptized. I remember when Victor got baptized. I remember when Robbins got baptized. When Fidelis got baptized. When Mide got baptized. When Abigail got baptized. I remember when I baptized Michael on my birthday last year. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe it's worth it. And that's why we got to raise up more men and women who be able to give their best to the kingdom.
Amen.
And not just to the world.
Yeah.
People say, well, what if I just get a job? If I just get a job, then I can give more to the kingdom. Okay, that's great, but who's going to plant churches?
Right.
Who's going to plant churches?
Come on.
Who's going to build them? Who's going to plant them? Of course, we always need money, but guess what? We can baptize people who can give money. Where are the leaders?
Come on.
Who are going to be the warriors who will lead God's people?
Amen. That's right.
You think God doesn't have enough money? You think he needs you to have a 6-figure job to give us money?
Come on, bro.
Timothy chapter 6. The Bible reads here in verse 17. We're going to close on that in just a moment. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, let's close out here in Matthew, back in Matthew chapter 6. This is big, guys, because we talked about praise, priorities, provision. Ask yourself, man, now you realize if you're really focusing on these things, you do have a lot to pray about.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying pray for hours about the same nonsense or babbling, but if you really think about all the stuff we need to be praying about, mm-hmm. it should take you a while.
Yeah.
It really should. It shouldn't be like, oh, I have to. It's like, man, yeah, I got to pray through all this stuff because it's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the next part. It says in verse 12 now. So praise, verse 9. Priorities, verse 10. Provision, verse 11. Verse 12. Ah, here it comes. Forgive us our debts. Now, what's interesting, the Greek word here can also be used for sins. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. When you pray, the next key aspect is personal relationships. When you pray, do you develop a heart of grace and forgiveness for other people?
Come on, bro.
Do you still have gripes and bitternesses against other people? A lack of trust against other people? But I'm a prayer warrior! But I can't stand that man. I don't like him. I don't trust him.
No.
But he's your brother and your sister. I know, but I don't like him. Wow.
Come on, bro.
Is there anyone you haven't forgiven here today? Is there anyone here that sadly you're in just bitterness or anger in your heart against? Guys, this is what your prayer is supposed to produce.
Amen.
It's working through those personal relationships to deal with that. We don't have time to look at it today, but Matthew 18, 21 to 35, it's the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness is not usually my issue. You know, everyone has their sins and struggles, right? Usually when it comes to stuff, like even, you know, with what's happened here with the church and Yomi and Iggy, I forgive them. I do. I don't really hold bitternesses a lot. That's not my issue. I don't struggle with anger because usually forgiveness or lack of forgiveness comes from the root of anger.
Yeah.
I don't forgive because I'm angry. I want revenge. That's the root core of a lack of forgiveness. So people who struggle with anger usually struggle with a lack of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying? Just like how those who struggle with like deceit, for example. Like I had to overcome deceit in my life. Like that stuff can also lead to anger, but it's funny how different sins lead to other things. Are you with me here? But you've got to ask yourself, is there anyone you haven't forgiven? Any personal relationships you haven't dealt with? Now about the next one? The next one. Protection. What does that say? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, right here, this is big. Because very often, you know, this one we usually pray about. Well, maybe not. Ask yourself, is there any sin in your life right now where, man, it's really hard for you to change?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah.
What is it? Lust? Pride? Lack of gentleness? Anger? Deceit? Right?
Hypocrisy?
Self-righteousness? Ah, come now. Come now. We should be popping like popcorn. Serious. Unless you're... Here's the thing. If you don't really know what you're struggling with, then that's even more dangerous. That's actually more scary. Which means that the devil knows how to tempt you if you don't even know yourself. Now you really have a problem. But this is big, guys, because, you know, for me, I know my temptations. My temptations are pride, lust, deceit, and now since I've been here in Nigeria a little longer, anger. But it's not usually my first one, but I'm trying to keep it under control. It's not funny. It's not funny. Because when you get angry from the outside, you bring that in the house. You with me here? It's wickedness. I don't laugh at sin. You shouldn't laugh at it either. Right? Because I think sometimes we laugh at sins like pride. Oh, he's so prideful. He's so arrogant. So was Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah. We laugh at things like pride, but if someone was a child molester, you'd be like, ha ha, he's such a child molester.
Get out of here. Not at all.
But we laugh at people's pride.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Come on, bro.
And so this is huge because I think for us, as I said, what's going to help us though? What's going to help us not? It's funny enough, it says here, and lead us. Did you catch that? Does it say lead me? Did you catch that? Seek first the kingdom. You see, the entire aspect of this is revolved around us working together as a unit and not just individually.
That's right.
Guys, this is huge. If you really study this out, this is deep. That's why we need the kingdom so much. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, see to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another every Sunday.
Yeah.
Daily.
Amen.
As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Amen.
Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Guys, this is huge. We protect each other by staying in each other's lives.
Yeah. Amen.
How's it going with the confession? Can we turn on the AC? No wonder it's hot up in here. That one is on 32. These aren't even on. Thanks, guys.
Amen.
I'm looking out for you, too.
Amen.
Because when it's warm, it's like...
Amen.
When it's cold, it's like, hello, right? We need the ACs, guys. Keep it bright and keep it cool.
Yep.
That's going to protect you guys. And then the last thing here today, the last thing is the promises of God. Because if you look down, it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
That's the promise of God. We get to be with the Lord in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. And you know, if you're a guest here today, I want to show you a scripture. Take a look over in Acts chapter 2. Because the promise of God is true. But the promise of God is not for you if you don't obey his commands.
Right.
The Bible says here, in Acts chapter 2, if you're a guest here, this is important for you to read. It says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, just pray the sinner's prayer.
No.
Just speak in tongues.
No.
Just come to church and sing some. No, that's not what it says.
No.
Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And the church said, amen. Guys, if you're a baptized disciple, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
If you're not a baptized disciple, you're not going to heaven. Are you a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're a guest here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to sit down and study the Bible with someone who brought you up.
Amen.
This, and this is something for us as disciples, like, we got to remember the promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to raise from the dead. And that this world, man, this is going to pass. You're going to die because we're all going to die, right?
Yeah.
Are you excited to go to heaven?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm like, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, Lord. But then I'm like, I'm sad because I want my family to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before God comes back. And that's what urges me on. To be able to win as many as possible before the Lord comes back. Well, guys, let's go back to Matthew 6 and we'll close here. My last point is simply this. Genuine prayer produces a heart of grace and peace. You know, last time I told you that Prayer should produce what? Peace, right? But guess what else it should produce? Grace. Are you a graceful person?
Come on, Andrew.
Come on, bro.
Do you like to extend grace to people? I'm asking you.
It's a struggle, bro.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Take a look here. How does this end? How does this prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, end? After he's given us how to pray, he says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men and women when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I'm sorry. Is that a conditional statement right there?
Yeah.
It is. It's a conditional statement.
Yeah.
If you do not forgive, God says, you will not be forgiven.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you haven't forgiven from your heart? You know, when we sit down and study the Bible with people, we always talk about, you know, how are your relationships with certain people? Have you forgiven mom, dad, friends, whatever? People who have hurt you, maybe you've gotten molested, maybe you've gotten abused, whatever is drama you've gone with in the past. But the goal is you have to forgive.
Yeah.
Because if you don't forgive, you'll be angry at people even after they're dead.
Yeah.
You'll be angry with a corpse. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Where is your heart this morning? You know, as we close here today, I want to encourage you. Prayer should produce a grace and forgiveness that is obvious. Ask yourself, do you really have a heart of genuine prayer? Has it produced a heart of pretense or piety? When you pray, are these different aspects? And you look at all this, you're like, wow, did you realize the Lord's Prayer included all that?
Come on, bro.
Yeah. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Did you realize the Lord's Prayer included all that? And they all start with a P, so you can remember, amen.
Amen.
But they all lead from one to the next. It starts with praise, and it ends with the promise. But do we change as a result?
Come on, Andrew.
Guys, what would happen to us if we actually changed? When Jesus was on the cross, and we're about to go to communion right now, when Jesus was on the cross, as he was dying and as the nails had pierced his skin, as the blood was flowing, what did he say in Luke 23? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. The last words of Jesus were prayers. Prayers of forgiveness. In Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was being stoned, he said, Lord, receive my spirit. And guess what else he said? Do not hold this sin against them. I don't know about you, but that deeply convicts me. Because when I get hurt, the temptation is to retaliate rather than to forgive. It takes strength to forgive. And I pray that as God has forgiven us, we'll have the same heart as well.
Amen.
Let's go before him in prayer. Father God, we stand in awe of you. We don't deserve, I do not deserve, God, your mercy, your grace. God, I thank you for waiting for me to turn my heart back to you. Even while I was sinning against you, even while I was hurting you, God, you were so patient. You protected me from so much. You guarded my life. I can't even imagine the diseases, the impact, the children out of wedlock, the corruption that I would have faced if not for your protection. God, I praise your name because you are worthy of my praise.
Yes.
God, I pray right now with all my heart, Father, for you to continue to provide for us. God, we know we don't deserve anything. We know that. God, it's so hard at times. Sometimes we feel things are desperate. But help us not to lose our integrity. Help us not to stop, to keep our priorities in line with you. God, help us to seek first your kingdom. To seek first the relationships of the brothers and sisters in the church that will protect us and keep us holy. God, you want to provide for us. You want to take care of us. I pray right now for any relationships, even in the church. If there's anyone even in the church that we've not forgiven, anyone in the church that we hold bitterness or anger towards, that today will decide to repent before the communion. That will cry out to you to deal with that lack of forgiveness, to deal with that lack of love, to deal with that lack of trust in our hearts. God, I beg you, help us not to be hypocrites. Help us not to be like the heathen that go babbling on, but yet have no change in their characters. God, I pray that God, you'll continue to protect us and remember, help us to remember your promise. God, I look forward to being in heaven with you. God, I know that this life can so often just distract me. It can so often make me want to focus on things of this world rather than you. So often, God, we can think that we're living just for this life. But God, I pray with all my heart that our will become your will. That rather your will be our will. And that we'll get our will in line. That we'll fight even in anguish until all the things that are on our hearts get surrendered to you. God, that we'll remember our promise that as baptized disciples, we are forgiven. All our sin washed clean. Past, present, future. We don't have to live a life of guilt anymore. We don't have to live a life of insecurity. We don't have to live a life of fear. That God, we could go to our death today knowing that we will hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God, I pray for those who are studying the Bible right now. I pray for those who have come back to you. God, I thank you that you brought them back from the vomit. You brought them back from the precipice of death. God, I pray that they will make every effort right now to seek after you. That right now, God, they will go after you in a way that they never have before. That they won't return to you out of pretense. They won't return to you because they like the fellowship. They won't return to you because they like the fun. That would be fake. That would be selfish. God, I pray that they're returning to you today because they know that you're the only way out. They know that you're the only way back from the vomit. God, I pray for each and every soul joining us here today. God, I thank you for their attendance. I thank you for their hearts to be here. But God, I pray that they will be broken. God, there are some people in this room that are not broken before you. And God, I don't want them to be crushed. God, I know that if we don't get broken before you, you will break us.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, Father, may your will be done.
Amen.
May your will be done. God, I pray for this church. I pray that you remove anything that is not holy. I pray that we see how our sin can hold the church back. I pray that, and I pray with thanksgiving, because I know you want to see this church prosper. I know that the day will come when we reach 120, where we reach 3,000, where we reach 10,000, according to your will. But Father, I pray that we can really be a men and women of prayer. That we pray not because we know we need to, but we pray until our heart changes, until our character changes, until we become more like you and less like ourselves. We honor you, Father. We honor you with all of our heart. Please answer our prayers. Protect us from the evil one. Help us. Help us, Father, to win as many souls as possible until we go home to be with you. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you, family.
Going to be singing Yahweh, and once we've done that, our brother is still going to come and share the communion with us. No, okay, we're going to go ahead right now and they will pass the communion. Amen. And while we are receiving the communion and thinking through the message, we're going to be singing Yahweh together.
Amen.
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 Yahweh, Yahweh, you are glorious, so glorious in your way. And you are wonderful,
you are wonderful, so wonderful in your way.
And you are marvelous,
you are marvelous, so marvelous in your way.
Cause you are powerful,
you are powerful. So powerful in your way.
You keep your promises.
You keep your promises. You keep your promises in your way.
Cause you're dependable.
You are dependable. So dependable in your way.
Cause you're reliable. You are faithful.
You are faithful. So faithful in your way.
Oh, you are mysterious.
Mysterious. So mysterious in your way.
God, you are beautiful.
Your promises,
promises,
you are reliable,
reliable,
so reliable in your way.
The God you can dependable. Mysterious,
mysterious, mysterious, so mysterious in your way.
God, you are awesome.
So glorious.